I'm sitting here with Anas Monroe, and Anas, I'd like to ask you a question about the app that you're about to release on the App Store. It's an app called Virtuoso, and it's going to be released on the 1st of November. And yeah, my first question is, what kind of app is it? Is it a game, or is it an instrument, or is it a work of art?
It has aspects of all three things, I think. Well, basically, I insist that this app is a piece of art, but I'm using inspirations from my previous work with computer games and more regular iPhone apps, so iPad apps. I have built instruments on my iPad, and this particular app I have done now is more an integrated art piece combining a visual part, a sound part, and also interaction part. And part of the interaction is, or the most important part of the interaction is this this gestural input from the user. I'm considering this, or I'm thinking of this app as a motivation for the user to make a lot of gestures or some kind of a dance with the iPhone when he or she is using the app, so that I can it becomes like a reference to music tradition, which is a physical interaction with the music, with the instrument.
It seems to blur the line between composing and playing an instrument a little bit, because in a way it is a kind of instrument, but by playing the instrument you can't help but compose, it seems. You end up with a little composition after having performed with it, if I understand correctly.
Yes, basically I want it to be as easy to use as possible. I want kids to be able to use it. My 4-year-old son has had a lot of fun playing with it. So basically, it's just a toy making funny sounds when you move your device. But I, at the same time, wanted to achieve a lot of layers in the app, so that on first sight it's a toy and it's a instrument, or whatever you might call it, a musical instrument, but when you play with it, after a while you will notice that there's a lot of structure involved also, and that you actually generate a 15-second composition that is played back when you stop playing with the toy. And you will also notice when you listen to this playback several times that you can actually affect this composition by the way you use it. So it is somewhere in between an instrument and a composition. Yeah, you could say yes.
And it seems as if it was intended for performance right from the beginning, that it was actually commissioned by an artist's collective called Handhold, or Handheld in English. And was it intended for a dance performance from the beginning, or is that just a possibility?
No, Hunholt has they are an artist group consisting mainly of visual artists, or actually only of visual artists, and they wanted to make a new or not a new platform, but they wanted to strengthen digital devices as an artistic platform from an agenda where they wanted to get the art out of galleries or out of museums and into the personal device of accessible to everyone who owns an iPad or an iPhone. And so they just they have been a lot of different artists have developed apps for them. There have been a few writers or poets, and there has been a few visual artists also. But I'm the first musician to develop an app for them, and what's that called? What makes me different from all the others is that I have developed everything myself. The other artists who have developed apps for them, they came up with an idea or a concept, and then paid or asked a programmer to do the actual craft of programming the app. I have done everything, both coming up with the concept and programmed everything from scratch by myself. And that is because as a musician or as a composer, I think we have a more crafts-based art form. Visual artists are more conceptual, or they're becoming more and more conceptual, and it's not so much about craft as it is about ideas, concept. I think in the musical tradition, you have your idea, and you also have the technical craft or musical craft to show your idea, or to play your idea, or perform your idea. So so that was part of my what I wanted to do with this format.
Yeah, one could say that creating musical scores has got something that's quite close to programming, in the sense that it's a set of instructions that then get carried out, either by a musician or by a piece of technology or by a computer. But this actually, what I would like to ask a little bit more about is this path of learning how to program apps, because as you've told us, it's something that you set out to do yourself instead of handing over that part of the process to other programmers. You've taken it upon yourself to learn how to program and do all the parts of creating this app, from the design to the concept to the actual programming itself. And from what you've told me before, that's been not always, it's been quite a path. It's it hasn't always been that easy to get your hands on the information and to find people that could guide you and help you along that path. One of the things that I always find quite fantastic about the web is that you can see the source code for a web page. Any web page you visit, you can just use your browser to take a look at the source code and see how it was put together. But apps are a little bit more tricky when it comes to that because they're sort of packages that are polished and then it's quite difficult to open up the hood and see what goes on underneath. So how have you, as a composer, you've had ideas, you've had visions for what you could do with the medium of an app, but how have you gone about tackling this process of learning all the technical things that you need to in order to be able to create it?
Well, I think it was an act of willpower, basically. I've been very stubborn. I really, really wanted to learn this, but I'm also very... my way of thinking... the way I think, I really like to make structures and to make programs, basically. I guess that's also why I became a composer in the first place. And the fantastic thing about programming is that you can program everything. You can control everything. And one of the reasons why I got so fond of the app medium was... My previous history before getting into this field was, of course, that I wanted to be a classical composer doing traditional music scores, but I was very frustrated with the lack of control I had of the sounding product in the end, mostly interaction with musicians who had to play my music, and they didn't always understand, and they didn't want to understand what I was trying to achieve, and maybe I didn't really want to to collaborate with them at the same time. With this programming medium, I have complete control myself on the whole process from start to the end. And also before I became a composer, or before I was studying to become a composer, I was playing a lot of piano and was also writing my own or composing my own pieces to perform on the piano. And actually that was my preferred way of composing music. So I kept control of what I was creating. But then at the same time, it's funny because this app actually gives a lot of, I also give the work away, you can say, in that the user who downloads this app can play with it himself and basically create his piece of art from my program, you could say. But somehow that's a bit different. I don't know. It's that's okay with me. I don't really.
You're handing over some of the. You've just talked about being able to control the process in great detail, but then you're nevertheless handing over some of that control over the final result.
Maybe actually what my app is about is not so much a musical piece of art. It's more a musical experience. And I also wanted it to be interesting to watch the user. And you could say it's like an improvisation tool. You can... And it's very easy to use. You just play with it, basically, like a toy, as I said earlier.
But actually, what I was thinking about, what you were talking about repeatedly about the app coming more into the art sphere, and I was thinking about apps and works of art. How do you feel about the whole fact that the software platforms that these apps exist on probably won't exist in 5 years' time? They're changing so quickly, and you know, when it comes to a to-do app, that doesn't really matter. It's just a simple tool, and in 5 years' time, we'll have another kind of to-do app that we're using. And as long as it does its job, that doesn't really matter. That if it change, how it changes. But when it comes to something that's a little bit closer to what we think of when we say it's a work of art or an art piece, an art object of some kind, how do you feel about the fact that despite all the hours and all the effort that you've put into it, that it's somehow limited in time, that it's not like a Beethoven piano sonata that can be played hundreds of years later. In 5 years' time, you'll either have to reinvent it or update it in some kind of way.
I think you could say the same about classical electronic music, or whatever you might call it. There have been a huge effort to update old setups from 60s, 70s, 80s electronic music to fit new platforms, because they were composed for 100 different obsolete platforms. What was it called? I think it was called Integra or something.
Yeah, the whole Integra Live. Yeah,
probably that's what it's called. They were updating all these old projects. And maybe this my project will get lost after a few years, but if it's worth it, I might update it, or someone else might update it. I don't know. If this could become one of the classic pieces of app artworks, it could be fantastic, of course. But I don't want to be. You cannot look into the future. You have to see what is interesting here and now. And I like the whole process of developing the app and learning the craft of programming it.
Right. Yeah. If you get too hung up on the future, then you'll never get anything done. I would like to come back to an earlier version of this app that you presented at Frankenstein's Lab earlier this year. And what was interesting for me at that point was that there was far less of a visual aspect. You'd actually at that point decided to very, very much focus on the gestural aspects of the app and using gesture as a means of shaping and creating sound. And you wanted to avoid, as you told at the time, you wanted to avoid someone peering into a screen and getting lost in that activity, and rather get people to move and use their ears. But it seems as if you've nevertheless built in a little bit more of a visual aspect over the last few months. And so I thought I'd ask you about that. I know that you also have a background as a visual artist, and that visual things have also been important to you. But perhaps you could tell us a little about why it is that you decided to include the visual aspect.
First of all, I found out that it was necessary with some kind of interface showing the user when this 15-second composition was actually ending, because if it was just playing and then ending, it was a bit unintuitive. People could think, is it done now, or should I wait for something else, or whatever. It needed some kind of interface showing what was going on also. But this interface is not interface design-wise, or what is it called? User interface is not based on looking at the screen, pushing buttons on the screen, and that's what I wanted to avoid, because I thought of this app as I said earlier, it should be a reference to music tradition, with performing music also. So I thought it could be funny to make an app that was funny for the user to use, but also funny for the spectators watching the user use it. And so he's when someone is using this app, he or she is not looking into the screen, pushing buttons on the screen. Rather, you just have to put one or multiple fingers onto the screen and then move it in different directions. And then when you release your fingers from the screen and this 15-second composition is being played, you have generated this 15-second composition, and you have also generated a visual piece of art, which happens to be also a visual interface, user interface. So it has different functionalities. At the same time, as it's not, you don't have to look into the screen when you're using it. You can watch the screen when you're experiencing what you have built up. And as you just mentioned, I also have a background as a visual artist. I was always very interested in combining my music and my visual art in some format. So that has also been an agenda for me, and also a reason why I found these digital devices so fantastic, because you can integrate visuals and sound in a very direct, very intuitive, interesting, easy way. But
Well, it's quite interesting for me, this whole discussion that's really been come to the fore very much in the last few years with apps, is the whole question of user interfaces and design. And design is often very focused on solving problems, and that's in some ways one might say also its definition. And art, on the other hand, is not so much a question of problem solving, at least not in the same way. And now this role of artist and designer is something that you've dealt with both aspects yourself. How's that been, this pull between having to think about user interfaces and the way in which users interact with your app and use it and operate it, and at the same time the artistic element where it's also an artwork, that aspect of combining building an instrument and then the art that's to be played on that instrument, rolling those two things into one. How have you found that? Is it mentally a tricky thing to move back and forth between the two sides, or is it just been a flow towards this?
Oh, I think you have to build a new mindset, because if you are developing art, there's been an agenda for the past, especially during the past 50 years, that it should not be easy, first of all, to experience the artwork, what you present should not, first of all, be easy. It should be a necessity. I don't know. I think I was also becoming a bit tired of this avant-garde idea that every piece of art should be basically, I think new music has turned into just repetitions of 60s avant-garde. I don't think anything new has happened in 40 or 50 years in the concert halls. Maybe because that medium cannot you have to change the medium in order to change the art form. So yeah, and that was also a reason why I was getting frustrated with traditional composing and composing for musicians, composing for concert halls.
So you're kind of designing your own concert hall. Both you're creating the space.
Yeah, you're creating
in which to
personal the individual space of everyone who has this this iPhone. I think we're getting into a new paradigm. Basically, people are not experiencing music. They're not building their musical identity at concerts or concert halls anymore. At best, it might be some kind of merchandise. You build your identity from listening on your iPod or from CD recordings or whatever, or from using music apps on your personal device. And then you can go into the concert hall after you have built your musical identity. If that answers the question.
Yeah, it does. For me, it's quite fascinating how the ambition of this app for you, because on the one hand, you've got this whole background of the avant-garde pioneers like Stockhausen and Nancaro that are somehow in the background informing some of the sound and aesthetic choices. And at the same time, there's this sort of really a big drive towards making it completely accessible. And as you say, that your four-year-old son can pick it up and do something with it.
Yes, that is very, very important to me, because what I was also very frustrated about was that no one took me seriously as a composer. I think no one takes modern composers seriously anymore. It's not a. Also, they don't really take musicians seriously. That's my experience. But they take programmers very seriously. That's like it's a new craft that is being taken seriously in society. And I think it's so annoying when you have developed a musical craft and no one really cares about it. And also you have all these amazing artworks, musical artworks, no one really appreciates, at least in the way they deserve. I think it's such a shame that avant-garde or Stockhausen, Nie erhörte Klinge or whatever, is just being considered as some kind of novelty in the general public. So it has been very strong thing or important thing for me to make it accessible. And basically, and actually, I think if you can make an abstract piece of music or avant-garde piece of music and you can have children play with it and have a good time playing with it, I think you have really... That was my ambition from the beginning, and I think I have achieved something close to that finally. Of course, I think I can develop even better apps than this one I'm just about to release now. But this is a good step in the right direction.
Right, and it's going to be released on the 1st of November. It'll be available in the App Store. And it's only for the iPhone, is that correct?
Yes, it is. I experimented with the app on iPad also, but since you have to move the app around or move the device around and holding up to five fingers on the screen at the same time, was a risk that you would drop your iPad on the floor, and that was not really it didn't really work. But it works very well with the iPhone. That's a very handy format.
Yeah, it's actually very beautiful to watch someone performing it. You presented it at Frankenstein's Lab earlier this year, and it was really nice to see the gestures and directly see how those gestures are are being translated into sound. Now on the 30th of October, there is an opening in which the app will be presented, and you're also going to perform with a percussionist. So there's actually going to be a live musical performance using it as an instrument along with traditional percussion instruments. And that's going to be at the Nikolai Kirke, yeah, in Copenhagen, if I remember correctly. Great, Anas. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how this gets taken up. And it's a fascinating jump into the world of apps and design and art and bringing all these things together. And so I hope that you have a lot of success with it. And I'm looking forward to experiencing the performance and trying it out myself. Where can people find you? Where can people find more information on this other than the App Store?
I guess my homepage is the best place to start. I have developed many app prototypes, but I haven't released anything yet. This is my first app release. This was my first mature app art piece, you can say. But I'm sure that there will be a lot of follow-ups. I'm already considering a second follow-up to this one, like a continuation.
Sounds interesting. So your website is Anders Monrad, AndersMonrad.dk. Yes. And you can reach Anders there. Otherwise, try and drop by the opening at the Nikolai Kirke on the evening of the 30th of October, where the app will be presented in performance, and where you will also tell a little bit more about it, I think. Yes, thank you, Anas, and all the best with your app.